we are getting ready, I think, in the world now to fire up a particle accelerator, right?
Yes, the Large Hadron Collider.
Mm-hmm. What do you think will happen?
Well, I actually, you know, I'm not sure they're going to find evidence for extra dimensions and some of the more exotic things they're looking for, but I think there's a very good chance we'll see evidence for the Higgs boson, which is what essentially gives atoms mass, gives things their mass, why we weigh so much, essentially. As opposed, you know, yes, we eat a lot of cheeseburgers, but why we have any mass at all basically comes from the Higgs boson. Beyond that, it'll be very interesting to see what happens if they get to higher and higher energies. And certainly they actually just announced plans for the next generation linear collider, which is intended as kind of a complement to the LHC.
Oh, and, really?
Yeah, yeah. An international group, I think, in Beijing just released a report. It's going to be huge. It's going to be expensive. And it'll kind of, it, you know, it's intended scientifically to complement what's going to happen at the LHC. But, you know, ideally I'd like to see, you know, some evidence pro or con for something like, say, string theory, which has been really criticized heavily in recent years for not having any experimental evidence to back it up. I think that I heard Brian Greene speak, and he was basically saying, look, even if we're wrong, we'd like to know we're wrong. We'd like to test it and have evidence for or against. So if I had a wish list for what would come out of the LHC and subsequently the ILC, it would be something like that. I would like to, you know, at least get some evidence one way or the other whether we're on the right track.
Do you believe that string theories, when they fire these up, let me rephrase that. Do you think that careers will fall or rise based on what happens with the accelerators?
I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think that the string theory backlash is already begun in earnest, but I don't think someone's career is going to be ruined. I mean, science progresses in a sense. I mean, failure is just as much a part of that progress as success is. You have to be able to take these kinds of risks and put these ideas out there. The nature of science is to hypothesize and then basically, you know, to test it and see, you know, whether or not it's true. I mean, scientists actually can be kind of irritated in that respect because you say an idea and then they immediately start poking holes in it. But
yes,
that's essentially how they test things, and that's how science advances.
Speaking of holes, black holes, should we create a black hole? Is that a bad idea?
Well, if you're talking about the LHC, the kinds of black holes that they think might appear would be really, really tiny. So tiny that they would almost evaporate almost instantly.
One hopes.
Pardon?
One hopes.
Actually, they're pretty sure.
Jennifer, is there any reason to worry that that could happen, that one day some scientist will push a button on the cutting edge of something and get a reaction that we all will dislike?
Well, you know, it's funny because every time a new machine opens up, this sort of question comes up. I mean, it's been happening since like the 1950s. It certainly happened when Fermilab opened up. Everyone was terrified they were going to create a supernova. With the LHC, it's all about the mini black holes. And the key word here is mini. I mean, mini doesn't quite get it across. They're literally going to be indistinguishable from subatomic particles, and they're going to last just about that long. I don't know, you're probably very familiar with Stephen Hawking's theory of black holes. It turns out that they do emit little bits of radiation. Essentially, this is called Hawking radiation, and it causes them to gradually evaporate. They basically lose mass. The radiation comes from the black hole losing mass, and over time it evaporates. And how fast it evaporates depends on how big it is. A really big, massive, rotating black hole at the center of one of the galaxies, it's going to take billions of years. But something the size of a subatomic particle, it's going to be like it's going to be there for such a short amount of time that we won't even know we've seen it. They actually think they might have seen one at Brookhaven. They have a machine there called the Relativistic Heavy Ion Collider, but it lasted so short that all they really got was some data in the form of a lot of squiggly lines, and if they're really debating whether or not it's a black hole, a mini black hole or not. So in general, when scientists talk about probabilities, they always say, well, you know, if you press them, they'll say there's, you know, a tiny, tiny chance. But they really mean a tiny, tiny chance. They mean that basically over the entire history of the universe, maybe just a little bit beyond the end of our universe, if we waited that long, we might have something really dangerous, which means that there's really no real danger from the LHC. They can't rule it out. No honest scientist will rule it out completely because probabilities being what they are, you know, scientists never close the book, you know, on anything really.
Yeah, I'm not saying it won't happen. But the other day here in Pahrump, Nevada, at one of the casinos, somebody won $18 million on a penny machine.
Yeah.
So eventually.
Yeah.
Eventually.
To give you, that's actually a very, very good analogy. Yeah, they might have won $18 million, but in order for, say, something that could consume the world to be produced at one of these Hadron Colliders, they would have to have that happen roughly 20 times in a row.
Okay. All right. Well,
I'm being generous.
Okay. I'll relax a
little. When we're talking about probabilities and odds, that's the kind of probabilities we're talking about. So I'm not losing a lot of sleep over the mini black hole.